All right, this morning, we're going to take it a little easy. I feel like I've been preaching hard the last few weeks. I'm up here breaking a sweat, preaching pretty hard. This morning, I say I'm going to take it easy. I might end up making everybody mad. We'll see. You see, we are smack dab in the middle of October. I say the middle. What day is it? Nearly the middle. And that means that the holiday season is upon us. Aren't y'all excited? Some are, some aren't. Holidays are a bit of a flashpoint between Christians and the world, right? Happy holidays. I keep Christ in Christmas, right? Yeah. We're just ready for a fight, right? I got my shirt on, we're ready to fight this fight. And don't tell me, it's not a Halloween festival, it's a harvest festival. I'm giving out candy and you're dressed up. Okay. It's a flashpoint. It's a flashpoint between Christians. Everybody has different standards and different expectations, and that's okay. So this morning I thought I would give a little scriptural insight. Like I said, for me this is taking it easy because we're stepping away from some tough doctrine that we've been teaching for today. But instead we're going to talk about holidays, how to handle the holidays. What are we as Christians supposed to do? Look at my skeletons. This is a flashpoint. The fact that there's probably somebody here that's annoyed that I have skeletons on here. I did that on purpose, by the way, Heather. So, I've been watching this my whole life. I've been watching the holiday season. Now, when I talk about the holidays, we have three big quasi-religious holidays. We got Halloween, we got Christmas, we got Easter. And those three tend to have some drama surrounding them. Now, nobody complains about Thanksgiving. We all agree it's the best holiday. Good food, good football, no gifts. It's wonderful. Yeah, it's obviously the best. We should just do that once a month. But it's not religious, although Thanksgiving is a biblical idea. It's not a religious holiday. July 4th, nobody has a problem with. If they do, they can move to, Qatar if they want. We don't have a problem with that. It's just these three that tend to have a lot of drama surrounding them, a lot of stress. And I just decided that I love you guys. And I get really bothered with the amount of stress that holidays put on God's people. So I thought I would just bring it all to the forefront and see what I could rile up, okay? This is not going to end in a really strong invitation. We're going to talk Christian to Christian here about holidays, and then we're going to have a business meeting. So let's strap in here. Handling the holidays. Well, first I wanted to show you something from Italy. You can't really see it on the screen there. It's partly just because it's dark. Over here you've got, there were a lot of graves, a lot of tombs in the churches. And so you're like walking over these tombs, right? That's a pretty common thing there. And a lot of these tombs would have the skull and the crossbones, like in a church, which was kind of cool to me. It's kind of spooky, kind of weird. A lot of the art, you can't really see this. I'll show you up close. The devil shows up a lot in medieval art. So as we move into the Halloween season, the spooky season, let's not forget that the devil that some people worship, his story started in our book. We're very aware of him. Let's not act like he doesn't exist. But I just want to show you some artwork. I have dozens of pieces of artwork and pictures that I could show you, but Jessica's already bored with just because I said pictures of artwork. I tried to show some people yesterday at the house, and after about the 75th picture of a painting, she's like, oh, yeah. I just wanted to show you that. So, what exactly is the problem with all these holidays? You realize the word holiday, it's a change in English. It means holy day. All of these days, the three big ones, were all considered holy days, holidays. And they made it into our calendar. What's the problem that everybody says? Well, they all have pagan roots, right? Right? Don't we have, can't have that paganism tied in with our holidays? Well, Halloween obviously is pagan, right? Is it? Maybe not. Not as much as we thought. The thing is, well, Halloween's bad, obviously. Pumpkins and witches. But Christmas is good. Easter, also good. Except for that rabbit. Well, what's going on? The thing is, they all have some pagan undertones. And we as Christians, we have to be honest about that. We have to be intellectually honest, because the truth is all of them were put on the calendar by the Catholic Church, which I never was one, and all of them have some pagan undertone to them. You say, well, let's just start picking them apart. Again, this is meant to be a kind of a relaxing day where we talk about something that's in our culture, but I also know that some of y'all are going to be annoyed by some of this, but that's the nature, that's why we need to talk about this. Let's just start with a good one, Easter. Easter is the only one of these three holidays that we ever see being celebrated in the Bible and by early Christians. Easter. Easter coincided with Passover. I picked this guy in this Easter bunny suit just to laugh at. But why do we call it, even the word Easter? I know that I've joked with some of you guys over the last month or two as I'm getting to know you about even the word Easter bothers some people. Easter is a Germanic word. It does come from the Osterdog, if you want to get really nerdy. It was a celebration of a Germanic deity around spring, and it was Easter Day. It was named after their deity. The thing is, though, the reason that we call it Easter, Heather, the reason we call it Easter is not really because we ever knew anything about a German god. It's because the King James Version of the Bible called it Easter. It's not necessarily correct that they did that. The Greek word was the word for Passover. And they could have said Passover in the book of Acts. But for some reason in the 1600s, they decided to translate it to the word Easter. So it came into our English vernacular. So you are not sinning if you say the word Easter. It's just an English word that has lost its meaning. It does come from a Germanic deity. The thing is, and I've heard Christians get real mad about this. I'm not necessarily here, but over the last, couple decade or so, people get real mad about this. We call it Resurrection Sunday. Like they're ready to fight. Don't say the word Easter. Well, if you stop saying the word Easter, you also have to stop saying the word Wednesday, which is from the word Odin's Day. Odin, the Norse god. You can't say Thursday, which means Thor's Day. Not the Marvel character, the deity. So if we start removing everything that has some connection to something in the past, we're going to lose a lot of English words. So this is one of those places where it sounds good on paper, but a lost person can Google it in 5 seconds. And they can see where we're being intellectually inconsistent. And that's okay to not want to support a false deity, of course. But you get my point. We've got to make sure that we are being consistent across the board. I'm going to call it Easter. Because when a lost person walks in the door, they've never heard anything else. And I want them to come back and I want them to know Jesus. And I know that whatever God that was named after isn't real. Doesn't matter. Easter also, because Passover happened on the same day, or around the same time of year, God chose in His providence to put Passover in the spring. It's the beginning of the Jewish calendar. Why did God put His holiday that is all about bringing spiritual life in the spring? It also coincides with other life that happens in the spring. Where did we get eggs? Chickens. Why did we start painting them? Where do we get rabbits and Easter bunnies and all that? Well, these pagan cultures, they would celebrate things that happened in the spring. If you've ever lived on a farm, not many of us do anymore, but on a farm in the spring, there's life. And it's not pagan to praise God and say, hey, winter's over, life is back. Look at these little chickens in the farm. I mean, there's nothing necessarily pagan about that. It was pagans who did that. But it doesn't make it wrong. So yeah, so that all kind of got smashed together. And if you go and study early church history, the argument over when to actually celebrate Passover and Easter, the resurrection, was one of the biggest flashpoints in the early church, because the Jews still celebrate it according to the moon, and Passover will happen on a different day. And Easter, you know, we never know when Easter's happening, right? Because it's connected to the equinox and all that. Nobody ever knows when Easter is. Sometimes it's April, sometimes it's March. That was one of the biggest arguments in the early church, first 200 or 300 or 400 years. Huge arguments over this. Fact is, there was a day on the calendar called Passover where Jesus was resurrected around that same time. And it happened to be around the same time that other cultures were celebrating spring. And those two things got smashed together. We'll just leave it at that. We won't say anything else. We're just describing them at this point. What about Christmas? There's nothing wrong with Christmas. What if I told you that nowhere in the Bible do we see anyone other than the shepherds and the angels on the very first night, do we see anybody celebrating Christmas? Nobody in the first couple of hundred years of church history celebrated Christmas. There's nothing wrong with celebrating the fact that Christ came to earth. But we are not told to anywhere in Scripture, and it was not our early example. It was completely made up holiday. Now, again, that's going to strike some of you straight at the heart, right? Because Christmas is like our Super Bowl. Really, it's not. It's a completely made up holiday. There's nothing wrong with celebrating it. I love Christmas. I love a lot of things about it. But it's a Catholic holiday. It was called Christ Mass. If you don't understand how Catholicism works, they have a liturgical calendar, and every day has a purpose, and it just so happens that on around December 25th, they would have Christ's Mass, Christmas. And so, it was just a made-up holiday. We don't really know what time of year Jesus was born. There's a couple of scholars out there that try to make, strong opinions on that. But truth is, they disagree with each other. We don't really know. But we do a whole lot more at Christmas than celebrate Jesus in the manger, right? I will say, as much as I love Christmas, and you'll see in the next month or two that I do love Christmas, one of the things that struck me as I was traipsing across Italy in all these churches is that I always saw Jesus powerless on a cross, and I always saw Jesus as a baby in his mother's arms. I never saw a victorious Jesus. That's a very Catholic thing. So let's make sure we're not just looking at a baby, that we're worshiping a Savior, right? But Christmas got smashed together with other festivals that happened around the middle of winter. Midwinter. Now, we don't really celebrate midwinter, Rickman. We don't really do that in Houston, down here, because it's hot all year round. We have two seasons, hot and less hot, right? But if you were in the Middle Ages before central air and heat, and you were in Europe, Northern Europe, or one of the Germanic countries, or Norway, or somewhere like that, midwinter is a really big deal. Midwinter is that day when the day is shortest for the year. And then the next day it's a little bit longer. And if you're surrounded by a world where you don't have central heat, and it's been snowing for 3 months, and midwinter happens, that is your promise that spring is coming. So that's why they bring in evergreens, Christmas trees, evergreens, holly. The holly and the ivy. They want all the green stuff. Everything else is dead, so they bring in the green stuff to remind you that life will make it through the winter. Mistletoe. Mistletoe is just a parasite that grows in oak trees. We used to shoot it out of the tree with a .22 at my papa's house. When all the other leaves die, there's this spot of green in the tree. And that is the promise of life to come. The Yule log. They would throw this big log on the fire. They have a big party on midwinter's day. There were some pagans who did that, but it doesn't make it pagan to celebrate winter. I mean, how much of our Christmas celebration is let it snow, let it snow, let it snow? It's not going to snow, We live in Dickinson. It's not going to snow. Baby, it's cold outside. Frosty the Snowman. How much of it has nothing to do with Jesus and everything to do with winter? There's nothing wrong with that, but it does have some pagan connotations. We have to be aware of that. And then obviously, Halloween. There's my little skeleton. Now, we would say this is the most pagan of all these three, right? I did learn after deep diving into this that on the Catholic liturgical calendar, they would have Hallows Eve, Saints Eve, on the 31st. November the 1st is All Saints Day. It's whenever they celebrate all the saints. And then November the 2nd was All Souls Day, where they would celebrate and pray to people in purgatory who needed prayer to be moved into heaven. Now, we know the Bible doesn't teach purgatory. And after the Reformation, All Souls Day basically disappeared. But they actually used to go around. There's still some places in Poland where you go around on November the 2nd, All Souls Day, and kids go and ask for these little sweet treats at the door. You ever heard of that? I was never taught that. I mean, we see that in this area, being in South Texas, strongly connected to things like Dia de los Muertos, right? If you have any friends of Mexican descent, they're very strong into Dia de los Muertos. It's the same thing, All Souls Day. It's where you're going to the graves to hang out with your family members who are still in limbo and need to be moved on one way or the other. Watch the movie Coco. He's just trying to go to heaven. Now, again, all of these holidays have some pagan connotation, but just like Easter happened in spring, so you got spring stuff, and just like Christmas happens in midwinter, so you get winter stuff, Halloween, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, happens in October, and it's just spooky. We were walking around the other night. We were coming back from a thing in our neighborhood. It was after dark. The moon was full. And Dawson said, it just looks like Halloween out here. You know, this time of year, the light, the shadows change. The leaves start, you know, they start drying up on the trees. It starts to make different noises. It's just naturally a spooky time of year. So yeah, there were pagans who celebrated Samhain and Celtic festivals where they, you know, were trying to do sacrifices and commune with dark spirits. But it also coincides with some Christian stuff, or some Catholic stuff. So, if the case is that all three of our big holidays that bring us so much stress do all have pagan roots, what do we do about it? The way I see it, there are three options. There are three options. The first option is we can go all in. We can go all in and just be all about all these holidays, and we can be the most holiday-spirited people that there are. Okay, that might work with Christmas. I don't think that works with Halloween. I don't think that's valid. Why not? Well, Romans chapter 12. Y'all know this verse. Paul said, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed. The Greek word there is the idea of just pressing a clay around a form. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we do take part in these holidays, we at least have to not be conformed to the world. I can say without hesitation that it is not right for a Christian to be that Halloween person. If your home is decked out in death and demons and ghouls and blood and gore, that is not of God. Full stop. Well, it's all make-believe. It's really not. Our Bible is proof that that's not make-believe. We know the actual enemy. I just like scary movies and scary stuff. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Every time we maximize blood and gore, we make the cross look like, oh, that's not that big a deal. I saw that in a movie yesterday. It is not the place for us to do that at Halloween. But what about Christmas? What about Easter? Do we go all in? Do we become Buddy the Elf at Christmas? Is God happy with that? Do we buy Brian a bunny suit for Easter? Do we go all in? I don't think that going all in is necessarily the answer. And, okay, y'all can disagree. These are my opinions, okay? I'm going to give you three options here. The second option, if we're not supposed to go all in, what if we just stay all out? We as Christians don't take part in any of it. Honestly, that's a valid option. I'm not sure it's the best option. It's a valid option. I had some friends, they weren't Christian, they were Jehovah's Witness, and they would always have to, all throughout school, the only two kids in the entire town, a little bitty town, so they really stuck out, but they couldn't even go to a Christmas party. They had to stand in the hallway. It's always kind of sad for Dominique and Seneca. Always sad for them, but it's their religion, and they stuck by it. They didn't celebrate any of that stuff. And I mean, their parents would make them stand in the hallway while we ate cookies in the classroom. Because I'm pretty sure they were Jehovah's Witnesses. But they had a conviction and they stuck with it. You know, it is a valid option. Peter does tell, he tells the diaspora, he said that we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. It's okay if we're peculiar. It's okay if we stand out. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is perfectly fine if we want to completely unplug from the culture. That's a valid option. The thing is, we have to be intellectually honest. And this is, I think, where Christians fail sometimes. We will make an enemy out of Halloween. We'll call it a harvest festival while passing out candy to kids who are dressed up. We won't use the word Halloween, but November the 1st, we all become Buddy the Elf, and our houses, I mean, we turn into Cindy Lou Who, and our whole houses are full of Christmas, and either we're all in or we're all out, because all three of them have pagan connotations. All three of them were given to us by the Catholic calendar. The only thing we're supposed to celebrate is the resurrection, and we're supposed to do that every time we come together and every time we take the Lord's Supper or see a baptism. Right? So either we've got to be consistent. We've got to have some integrity. You can't say, I'm going to not do Halloween and then watch Hallmark movies 4 times a day for 60 days coming up to Christ's birth. There's nothing godly about a Hallmark movie. But I always think about, I think we ought to make a channel that tells the stories of the guys back in the city that the lady left when she started her cookie shop, her bakery, you know. There's always somebody left out. They always forget that. You know, there's nothing godly about that. There's nothing godly about bringing a Christmas tree into your house. There's nothing godly about holly and ivy, and we're going to put up a Christmas tree. We have ornaments with memories, and we love the memories. But you got to be honest. I personally am going to buy a case of Peeps every Easter. It's the best candy ever made, next to Circus Peanuts. I lost a bunch of y'all there. The fact is, though, we have to be honest. If we're going to be all out, let's be all out on all of it. Because the world sees the hypocrisy. They see us not taking part in Halloween and then doing things that have nothing to do with Jesus for Christmas. We've got to be all in or all out. We are called to be peculiar, a royal priesthood, but does that mean we need to be completely all out? There is a third option. To infiltrate and redeem. Amen. To infiltrate and redeem. And you can do this with all of them. I think this is valid. Again, I'm giving you three options. I'm giving you my opinion. I'd love to hear your opinion at some point. Because I know people get real passionate about this. But this is a valid option. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount. You guys, we heard this just a month or two back in our sermon series. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So we have to interact with the world in some way to make a difference. Now, The real question is, what does that look like? Because, I mean, Paul interacted with the world. I love what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, pages sticking together when I'm in a hurry. Paul said, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all." This is chapter 9, starting in verse 19, "that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of God, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." He interacted with the world. Now, he did not change his religion. He said, "I'm not outside the law, but I hung out with people who were outside the law. I know that I'm not bound by the Jewish law, but I stayed with those people who were under that law. I did not become weak, but I was with the weak. I became weak to reach those who are weak." We have to infiltrate the world, infiltrate the culture, and hopefully redeem it. Hopefully redeem it. So, what exactly does that look like? What does that look like? And we'll be brief this morning because I know we have a business meeting right after this. So if you want to know about church business, plan to stay for that. That's where all the fun happens. That's where you get to hear everything and ask all the questions. So what does it look like? Let's start with Easter. First of all, we can call it Easter. It's okay. God's not mad at you if you say that word. Now, if you have a personal problem with it, you do what you got to do. But I know that the average lost person walking up the road, that's what they call it. So that's what I'm going to call it. Now, if they ever start calling it a bad word or a four-letter word, I won't call it that. But I'll call it Easter. Maybe we stop correcting unbelievers when they call it. It's actually Resurrection Day. Maybe as Christians, we celebrate Passover. Have you ever taken Passover? It's really interesting. If you've never done it, there is a way to do it as a Christian. And as a Gentile, as a non-Jew, it's really fun. We did it with our family once, and Jessica always wants to do it again. We need to do it again. We celebrate Passover, celebrate the resurrection, of course, but it's okay to celebrate spring. It's okay to say, "God, you have brought new life back to this cold, dead world out of winter." I grew up hunting Easter eggs. We would pull them off the fence posts and underneath cow patties. We were in the country, we're out of in pastures. We would eat the Easter, and it wasn't none of this plastic stuff. It was actual Easter eggs, some of y'all are nodding your heads. But there's nothing wrong inherently with that. Now, if you start rolling those eggs down a hill and praying to the God who brought the fertility, you're going to have a problem, which is what the pagans were doing. But it's okay to celebrate spring. It's okay to eat the ears off of the Easter bunny, the little chocolate bunny. God's not mad at you. In fact, you can use that as a way to say, "Hey, do you know why we have all these rabbits and all these eggs? It's a celebration of God bringing life after the winter. And he actually brought life through the resurrection." We can use that to our advantage as long as we're not doing anything pagan. We can also commit to really celebrating the resurrection every time we see a baptism or take the Lord's Supper. Because God never told us to celebrate a day. Now, the early church did, but they actually started celebrating, started to have church on the first day of the week and called it the Lord's Day. They celebrated Easter, the resurrection, every single Sunday. That's why they started doing that, because it was the day of the week that the Lord resurrected. Every Sunday should be Easter for us. And that's just, that's the example that we have. What about Christmas? Whew, here we go. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. There are people in my neighborhood who put up a 15-foot tall skeleton on September the 1st. Do you know why they did that? Because for the last 10 years, most of us turn into Buddy the Elf on November the 1st, and we lack self-control. We want to live in a winter wonderland. We're supposed to have a good solid week at Christmas where we are thinking about memories, thinking about loved ones, thinking about the goodness of God. We're supposed to have that. And we want to stretch it out to a point that is unrealistic. We can't maintain that level. And most people that do that don't. Let's have a little self-control. Let's be the people who say, hey, I love Christmas, but I'm going to tone it down a little bit. We're not going to put a 20-foot tall tree in the sanctuary. You know, let's tone it down a little bit. Especially you moms. Not that y'all need to tone it down, but think about this. I watch moms, especially as I was working as a teacher, most of the teachers were ladies. The stress put on moms to do so much at Christmas. Gotta go here, gotta go to this party, gotta go to that party, gotta go to that party, gotta go to that family gathering, gotta make this dish, gotta make that dish, gotta buy this gift, gotta buy that gift. What if we all just collectively said no? What if we just had a little self-control and said, hey, we're gonna enjoy each other, we're gonna sing the songs, we're gonna set up the tree, but we're gonna get together with our family and say, hey, this is about Jesus. Even on some level, it's about winter, and that's okay too. But this year, we're going to spend a third of what we spent last year. We're not going to stress ourselves buying stuff that people don't need for people that don't really want it, who are going to forget they got it 2 weeks later. Can I empower some of you? If you're here today and you're a grandparent, you have a lot of power. You have a lot of ability to sit down with your kids who have kids and say, hey, let's do gifts, but let's bring it back a little bit. As we over-market this holiday, the devil's winning. The devil wants us so stressed that Jesus is an afterthought. He's not an afterthought. He's not an afterthought. Have a little self-control. We can set the tone for that. Well, again, I don't want to make you too mad on that, but just know that God loves you even if you don't perfectly execute everything at Christmas. We have been convinced that this is God's holiday. We made it up. It's okay that we celebrate it. I love it. But we made it up. God never told you to do it. So take some of that stress off your shoulders. Hang out with your family. Worry less about going to the mall. Oh, the mall in December. Whew! Let's not go there. Ever again. Ever again. What about Halloween? And this is meant just to start a conversation. I know some of y'all are probably going to have thoughts on this. Maybe I'd love to hear them. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. What about Halloween? We can't in any way as Christians take part in Halloween. Well, I don't think that's true. There's one day a year when people in your neighborhood will come to your door and introduce themselves. The devil may have started it, but we're going to take it back from that jerk. There is one day a year when your neighbors will come to your house just because you left the porch light on. Meet your neighbors. Spend the money. Don't waste your time on that junk and those big bags of little bitty pieces of candy. Buy full-size candy bars. Be the house that the kids remember. I knew a guy who was a church planter in Seattle. There were two guys up there. At one house, they would put up a sign a couple of days before that said, full-size candy bars. He would deck out his garage with you know, spooky-type things, some cobwebs and things, but nothing ungodly. People would have to walk up into the garage to kind of go through the little kiosk to get their candy. He would meet them. He wouldn't be like, he wouldn't be like, Jesus loves you, you don't want to go to hell. I mean, but he would make up a conversation with them. He'd get to know them. He'd try to invite them to church. He would meet his neighbors. And he would pass out the good stuff. Full-size Milky Ways. Not the little box of dots that was made in 1974 that's still floating around. And if your house is not a house where people do that, team up with somebody in the church. Make it a party. Be the place that the neighborhood remembers. I know another guy, in his yard, he set up a screen that was playing on a loop, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. Now, I don't know what you know about Charlie Brown, but if it gets them to watch the Christmas Charlie Brown, they present the gospel very clearly. And families would stop in his neighborhood and just watch for 10 or 15 minutes, then go about their way. It is the one day a year when strangers will come to your... The biggest problem we have witnessing is that we don't know how to encounter people. It's the one day a year that the devil sends them to us. What an idiot. We can take advantage of his mistake. And you know what? I mean, if you've got kids, have fun. We dress up every year. Never once have we dressed up like ghouls or demons or devils or anything else. One year we were s'mores. Jessica and I were graham crackers. Linda was the Hershey bar. Dawson was the marshmallow. Lois was the fire. One year we were Mr. and Mrs. Pac-Man, and they were the three little cartoon ghosts behind us. Last year we were M&Ms. Now, the amount of M&Ms you eat can be ungodly, but there's nothing inherently ungodly about M&Ms. Every year we take part in our neighborhood activities. We're going to ride on a hayride with people who don't, many of whom don't go to church. We're trying to make friends. We're not going to bash them over the head with the gospel. We're trying to build relationships. It's the one day a year when people want to get to know you. Do it. And like I said, if your house, if your neighborhood is not that kind of neighborhood, team up with each other. Do it as small groups. Make it the house that people remember, and make sure you mention Jesus' name once or twice in there. We can redeem these days. And you know what? If a 6-year-old walks up to your door and their costume and their makeup, if they got blood running down their face and they're dressed up like the devil, you know what that tells you? That family needs the gospel. Don't be sickened by it. Be drawn to it. We as Christians are supposed to be drawn to death. We're supposed to be drawn to people who need the gospel. There's a problem with you as a believer if you are repulsed by unbelievers. We're supposed to be drawn to unbelievers. And you can tell, because one kid's dressed up like a s'more, the other one's dressed up like the devil. You can tell who needs the gospel. Lean into that. There's not a good hard stop for this sermon. It's just, like I said, just a way to start a conversation before a business meeting. I just wanted you guys to think. The holiday season is full of stress. None of that stress comes from God or His Word. All three holidays are an opportunity to worship God and to love others. All three. We are not called to sequester ourselves and hide from the world. We are called to have the full-size candy bars. We are called to be the ones that the neighborhood knows, man, those people know how to do it right. If you need a couple of bucks for candy bars, I'll give it to you. We'll take up an offer. We got it. We've got to engage the lost world. We could bring in the greatest musicians on the planet. You could trade me out for somebody who can actually preach. We could have the best decorations in the world. And you might get a few people to start, you know, trickling in. But real church growth is when neighbors meet neighbors. Real multiplication is when neighbors share the gospel with their neighbors. That's where we are. And that can be done at Halloween, at Christmas, at Easter. These holidays are a gift for us if we'll only take the opportunity. So, there's not a good hard stop for this. This is meant to be that kind of sermon. So as our musicians make their way up, if you're here today and, like I said, I was talking to believers today. I was talking to us about how we handle holidays. If for some reason you're here and you're not a child of God, you've never given your life to Christ, I'd love to visit with you about that. I do know that as culture changes, not everybody will come down the aisle. If you want to come talk to me later, I'm available. And I know we have many people at the church who are available to have that conversation with you. But for now, let's all stand together. Let me just ask you, what commitments are you willing to make for the holiday season? Are we willing to commit to self-control? Are we willing to commit to using opportunities to share the gospel with the lost? Are we going to thank God for the chance for all that He's done for us? So as we sing, we'll worry about those commitments.